Welcome to the Ask Dr. Turner Radio Ministry broadcast. Prepare to be enlightened and empowered. Without further delay, here's your host, Dr. Turner.
Beloved, greetings and welcome. I cannot contain my zeal and my excitement concerning releasing the Rhema word that the Lord has given to me to give to you for this iteration of the Ask Dr. Turner broadcast. But allow me to take a pause for a ministry identification. You're in tune, ladies and gentlemen, to Pure in Hearts Deliverance and Outreach Ministries International's broadcast, the Ask Dr. Turner broadcast. The ministry is located at 2851 Edgewood Avenue North in the city of Jacksonville, Florida. Service time Sundays at 12 noon. This is your co-host with the most, sitting in for the Honorable Apostolic Doctor herself, Latonya Turner, and the prophetic pastor, Deborah Freeman, a.k.a. Prophetic D. Free. Want to remind you, glory to God, this is a ministry that is missions-minded. This is a ministry that cares for the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, a ministry which prays without ceasing. So know that we here at the Ask Dr. Turner broadcast maintain a posture of continual prayer for you, your listeners, and your family. We want you to visit our website, AskDrTurner.org, where you can obtain a copy of Dr. Turner's awesome prayer CD. And if you have questions concerning your walk, question concerning anything found in the scripture that you may have difficulty understanding, this is an interactive broadcast. We want you to interact with us via email at AskDrTurner8@gmail.com. AskDrTurner8@gmail.com. If you desire to write to us, please do so at Pure in Heart, P.O. Box 26725, Jacksonville, Florida 32226. And again, if the Lord gives you the unction to support this evangelistic, this missions-minded ministry, you can do so by making your check payable to Pure in Heart, or you can use Cash App, the $ capital P, capital I, capital H, followed by the word church with a capital C. Excited now to be able to bring forth this Rhema, get some writing material, get your pen, get your paper, and get ready for a walk in the word. Let's look at a very important word Jesus spoke to his disciples and all who would put their faith in him for salvation. It is the word watch, W-A-T-C-H. Watch, as Jesus used it, is connected to prayer. And in light of the times and the seasons in which we live, we know that we cannot emphasize the importance of prayer enough. So let's define the word watch. Then we will look at some examples of the way in which it was used by Jesus. Let's begin in Matthew chapter 14, verse 26, which records the first time the word was used by Jesus. I'll give you the definition first, then we will take an in-depth look at the scripture. Watch is the Greek word phulake, P-H-U-L-A-K-E, phulake, which means a guarding. It means to guard. It also means the time as a division of day or night. So it's a certain time or division of time, whether day or night, and it also means to guard or guarding. Now, the Bible speaks of watches, which are precise times of the day or night in which you pray. So we see now the way we're using the word watch is in conjunction or in tandem with prayer. Essentially, beloved, eight watches cover 24 hours a day. Every prayer watch has a targeted goal. This is why you may find yourself frequently led to pray at particular times of the day or evening. Sometimes you might find yourself waking up at 3 a.m., waking up at midnight. It's not you actually waking yourself up on a lot of those occasions. It is the Spirit of the living God unctioning you to rise up to pray at a particular watch. An online article from the site theglobalwatch.com has this to say about a watch or watches. The Hebrew watch was divided into three watches: the first, middle, and morning watch. When the Romans began to gain influence and supremacy in Palestine, right, the number of watches increased to four from three and were described in numerical order. The first watch, ladies and gentlemen, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. The second, 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. The third watch, 12 a.m. to 3 a.m. The fourth watch, from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. During the fourth watch, there are significant power encounters that make way for the kingdom of God to penetrate the earth realm. Such prayers, the article says, are highly protective and effectual, particularly when linked with other watchmen. Let's go to Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 24. Here at the Ask Dr. Turner broadcast, we believe in line by line, precept by precept, here a little, there a little, bringing forth a word that is both exegetically and homiletically correct, a word that is not just full of opinions, but actually dissecting the scripture. So here is the backdrop to what I'm going to read. Jesus had fed the multitude. He had been teaching. He constrained his disciples to get into a ship to go to the other side while he went up into a mountain to pray. Pick it up again in Matthew 14 and 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary, right? Contrary winds are beginning to blow and hit the ship. Now, in the fourth watch, the Bible says, right? The fourth watch, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. As you think about Jesus coming out of prayer to them, I reiterate two things for your remembrance. The word phulake, which means a guarding or to guard. That's number one. Second, number two, the verbiage from the online article, theglobalwatch.com, which states that during the fourth watch, there are significant power encounters that make way for the kingdom of God to penetrate the earth. Think about those definitions in light of Jesus coming, walking on the sea in the fourth watch to his disciples who are in a boat, a ship that is being ravaged by contrary wind. I am convinced there were forces of darkness at work attempting not only to stop the disciples from getting to the place Jesus instructed them to go to, just like there are forces, beloved, contrary forces trying to stop you and me in terms of what Jesus is doing, glory to God, in our lives, in terms of what he has instructed us to do, right? Now, the question is, what is Jesus doing now that these contrary winds are blowing against us? Well, he is doing exactly what he did when he constrained his disciples to get into the ship that was hit by the storm. He is in a high place praying. Remember, Jesus had gone up into a mountain apart to pray when he constrained them to get into the ship. Hebrews 7 and 25, the affirming scripture, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. They were crying out in fear, beloved, when these contrary forces, these winds began to beat up on the ship. But you and I must not allow ourselves to be terrorized, paralyzed by fear like they did. We must take confidence in the fact that Jesus is interceding for us. The degree of difficulty in the situation may be great, but it is not greater than the power of intercession that Jesus is committed to doing for you and for me. Right? And we're going to make it through whatever watch or time of the day or night that it is. We must make sure, though, that we're operating in prayer and faith and not in fear. When he came to them in the fourth watch, he came as a guardian, Philuke. He came as a savior. He came as a deliverer, a rescuer, beloved. Matthew 26, 41, Jesus instructs us to watch and pray that we enter not into temptation. Why? Because the spirit, the inner man, is willing, but the flesh with all its human frailties is weak. Prayer coupled with heeding Holy Spirit's call, glory to God, to be focused in the watches he deems necessary will strengthen our inner being, our spirit, and it will help to weaken the flesh, the carnal nature. Watch in Matthew 26, 41 is a different Greek word than the word phulake, which I defined when I read Matthew 14, 25. When Jesus used the word watch and pray in reference to the willingness of the spirit and the weakness of the flesh, it is the word gregoreu, G-O-R, or actually G-R-E-G-O-R-E-U-O. And this word now means to keep awake. It means to be vigilant as opposed to phulake, which meant guarding or which meant a certain time of the day or night. So when he says watch and pray, he's saying keep awake, be vigilant. Can you imagine, my beloved listeners, a security guard or a guard dog assigned to guard some place, a person that is important? Phulake, right? And when the thief is attempting to break in and steal, the dog or the person assigned to the watch is fast asleep, even snoring. Imagine that. John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. What Holy Spirit tries to get, when Holy Spirit tries to get your attention during the one of the watches, especially one that you don't find conducive to sleep time, right? It is imperative that you what? Rise up and pray. Are you hitting the snooze button while the adversary, the thief, is on the rampage attempting to break in and steal? Food for thought. There was a time when Jesus took his disciples with him into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. Gethsemane means oil press. It is the place where the olive was crushed, pressed to get the oil. While Jesus was pressed in his soul and spirit in agonizing prayer, glory to God, let's look at the posture of the disciples. Matthew 26, 40 and 41. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. What a travesty. And he saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch there again. Gregoreu. It means to keep awake again, to be vigilant. Instead of being vigilant, instead of staying awake and praying, they were fast asleep. He says, watch and pray. Stay awake, be vigilant, and pray that you enter not into temptation. Again, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Ladies and gentlemen, watching and praying requires strict discipline, because prayer is more than just repeating some words. No, many of you listening to this teaching are bona fide intercessors who have crucified the flesh when it comes to watching and praying. Because you understand that it can be a matter of life and death where others are concerned. There are individuals whom you are watching and praying for who don't even realize that your diligence and commitment to being on your post at your Holy Ghost assigned watch is what is averting some calamitous or catastrophic situation in their life. You are committed soldiers in watching and praying. Shout out to you, right, who mans your post, whether it is in the first, second, third, or fourth watch. In my book, The Power of Persistent Prayer, put a little plug in, you know, I mentioned my sister, Esther J. Maxwell, who received her prayer mantle from our maternal grandmother, Edith Maxwell, She lived to 102, lived in the inner city of Kingston, turned half her house into a church. She rose up before 5 a.m. every morning. We could hear her singing, glory to God. I come to the garden alone in preparation for prayer. My paternal grandfather started his early morning prayer with the song Sweet Hour of Prayer. Shout out to Edwina Patsy Tutt and her prayer partner Winsome, who pray together every single morning. And my final shout out is to the Pure in Heart intercessors who definitely have a main line to the throne through prayer. I have the personal testimonies which allow me to attest to that. And again, shouting out all disciplined people, individuals who understand the sacrifice and the discipline that is required to watch and pray. You know, anyone can roll out of bed. Anyone can choose a time that is conducive, a time that is comfortable, glory to God, to pray. But individuals who understand the importance of the watches understand that they must crucify that fleshly appetite that does not want to pray. Before we close, let's look at an Old Testament scripture that deals with the watch, beloved. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. The majority of times I've heard that scripture ministered on, the focus is always on writing the vision, which is important. But it is also important to note what precipitated the instructions given to the prophet Habakkuk by God to write the vision, to make it plain, right? Let me read it. Habakkuk said, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, right? A tower is indicative of a high place. And he says, and I will watch to see what he, God, will say unto me and what I shall answer when I'm reproved. So normally someone is speaking, you're listening, right? But Habakkuk is saying, I will watch to see what he shall say. Because someone that has the gift of prophecy or someone who is seated in that place of prophet or prophetess, they don't only hear, they also see what God is saying. And he says, what I shall answer when I am reproved. Now, the first word watch there is the word mishmereth, M-I-S-H-M-E-R-E-T-H. And it means a sentry, S-E-N-T-R-Y. It means a post, right? So that tower was his post. Sentry is a soldier stationed to keep guard or to control access to a place. Remember when we talked about watch a little bit a few moments ago, we talked about guarding or to guard, right? Sentry is a soldier stationed to keep guard or control access to a particular place. So Habakkuk was a prophetic soldier assigned by his commander in chief to a particular post, just like many of you are. You intercessors, you are prophetic, praying soldiers, glory to God, assigned to certain watches by your commander in chief, the Lord Jesus Christ, to your post. And you're vigilant, and you take your position and your posturing in the said watch seriously. Habakkuk's first use of the word watch is the Hebrew word again, mishmereth, right? It also means preservation. It also means to be safe. It means observance. It means duty. And it means to safeguard. Now, I exhaustively give you these particular definitions of the word watch so you can see the importance of what Yeshua meant when he instructed his followers to what? Watch and pray. Habakkuk's second use of the word watch is the Hebrew word safah, T-S-A-P-H-A-H. And this word means to lean forward, that is to peer into the distance, to observe, to await, or to wait for. Get a mental picture again in your mind of Habakkuk standing on his post as a sentry, a prophetic soldier for God, leaning forward, beloved, peering prophetically into the distance, right? eyes and ears that are focused, right? Observing, waiting for Almighty God to speak to him. Glory to God. That's what you do when you're watching and praying. Your mind and your ear gate and your eye gate is in a forward motion, waiting with unbridled anticipation for what the Lord God Almighty is going to say unto you. Glory to God. Now, let's get ready to head towards our closing. Flight attendants, prepare for landing. The eagle's about to set this thing down. So we're going to close. Let's go into Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 37. Jesus said, "Blessed are those servants, beloved, whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching." Of all the things, right, we know that Jesus Christ said, when the Son of Man returns, shall he find faith. Right? Shall he find an individual trusting, still believing, still relying on him for salvation, still activating that faith with the work that they're doing to advance the kingdom of God? Here he said, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, when he return, he shall what? Find watching." I love when I see the word servant or servants, which speak of the crux of what our calling is in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? This is what we're called to. We're called to serve. Beloved, this is the posture that we have to adopt. No matter the level of grandeur and awesomeness or whatever we have attained or achieved in this life by the grace of God, we must have a posture of serving, especially serving the least of these, right? So, blessed, glory to God, are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching, right? The Lord has in mind, this awesomeness of finding his people serving and watching, right? Watching there again, Gregoriou, right? That there goes that word again, Gregoriou, keeping awake, being vigilant, right? Being steadfast, beloved, being unmovable in terms of the things that he has called us to do. Glory to God in the highest. This is of the absolute utmost importance for every child of God, beloved. Keeping awake and being vigilant means we have to be focused on getting the assignment God has entrusted to us done. Focused on executing the instructions he has given to us. Now, just like the disciples of old who were constrained to get into the boat, right, into the ship, we are going to face contrary winds. It's not a matter of if, but when. Glory to God. But we should not allow the opposition, though the opposition will be great, we should not allow it to strike fear and paralysis in us, right? It's going to be great like it was when they were in the ship, right? Hit with a storm. You may be dealing with one of these high category storms. Now, when you're listening to this, glory to God, stay focused. Be that prophetic soldier in prayer like a backup. What I find to be absolutely awesome is being able to pray for other people while you're in the midst of the storm, as opposed to just being fearful and worrying and wondering when will Jesus alleviate you of this crisis, right? Discipline soldiers of the cross. Maintaining your focus in the midst of the storm, beloved. Staying watchful, keep praying, turn down your plate in fasting, glory to God. And before I give you the results of this type of lifestyle in watching and praying that comes as a result of this level of faithfulness, I want to remind you of the scripture where Peter says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is roaming around seeking whom he may devour." So the adversary is on the plow seeking to devour, beloved. Glory to God. But thank God for the prophetic soldiers who are manning their posts, the sentries who are on guard, praying night and day. Glory to God. This way, the power of God can be manifested in the earth realm. Again, disciplined soldiers of the cross, maintaining that eagle-eyed focus, not only in eye, in mind, in attitude, glory to God, in the midst of the storm, irrespective of whether or not it's a category 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. They stay watchful. They stay in a constant posture of prayer. They're willing to turn down their plates and fast, glory to God. They're willing to shut down any and everything that would try to feed the carnal man. And Jesus, as we get ready to set this thing down and bring it to a close, tells us what the results of this level of faithfulness is. Luke 12, 37b, he says, "Verily I say unto you, that he, the Lord, shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat." Who are the them? The ones who are dedicated to watching and praying. The ones who are dedicated to being steadfast, glory to God, in that particular hour, guarding their posts, peering into the distance. This is what the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of prophecy, allows Pastor Deborah, Dr. Turner. He allows the individuals who are the intercessors to peer prophetically into the distance, glory to God, to lean forward in the realm of the Spirit so he or she, like Habakkuk, can see, can hear what the Lord is instructing them concerning instruction, concerning vision. Let me keep it moving. And the Bible says, "And if he shall come in the second watch," speaking of the Lord, "or come in the third watch and find them so," find them how? "Vigilant, awake. Blessed are those servants." Glory, hallelujah. The ultimate goal for every disciple, for every son, daughter of God, is to be able to sit with him, to sup with him, to meet at his table. Luke 12, 38 and 39, beloved. "And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not." I bless you, beloved, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you would like to get this message shared with somebody who you think may benefit from it, reach out to Dr. Turner at the Ask Dr. Turner, the number 8@gmail.com. So others can be able to enjoy this word. Also, you can get them to download the Praise 107.9 app and tune into the broadcast, glory to God, Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Beloved, I want to remind you again that these teachings, and you can tell, these are not just something, teachings that are just thrown together whimsically. They are designed by Holy Spirit with you in mind. And if you're struggling in this season, this time of crisis, again, I would be remiss if I did not say this. Feeling lonely, isolated, depressed, even suicidal, need some ministry. Of course, we would love you to visit the ministry, 2851 Edgewood Avenue North in the city of Jacksonville, Florida, Sundays 12 noon. But also, if it's an emergency situation, please call our prayer line. Do not be a silent sufferer. Call our prayer line now. A dedicated intercessor is waiting to take your call. They do it with love, beloved. They do it with joy. The intercessors do it with delight. This is what the Ask Dr. Turner program is all about. This is the crux of this ministry, the crux of why we do what we do, ministering to you, beloved, not only in word, but also in deed. Call the prayer line now, 904-765-7600. Shalom.
Thank you for tuning into the Ask Dr. Turner radio broadcast, a ministry of Pure in Heart Ministries. To learn more or to submit your questions to Dr. Turner, email askdrturner8@gmail.com or visit askdrturner.org.
We look forward to having you join us again next Saturday at 6:30 p.m. right here on Praise 107.9.